Hey there. Are you looking to sell your home the for sale by owner way? Then check out Listella. Listella is an online real estate platform where you can directly buy and sell homes with no negotiations and no commission. Sellers save the 6% they would typically pay an agent, and buyers can find and buy a home in as little as 14 days. The best part? If you're a Travel Brats listener and you list your home on Listella, you'll get 20% off the listing fee with code TRAVEL. That's capital TRAVEL. Check them out at listella.com or download the Listella app today.
Hey y'all.
I'm Soph.
And I'm Nat.
And we're the Travel Brats.
Welcome to our podcast.
We've been putting the brat in travel
since 2020.
And we're just getting started.
From hidden gems to world-class travel,
we've been sharing hot and not destinations from a bird's eye view and a party of two.
So what's on the itinerary today?
Hey, Travel Brats. Happy Travel Brat Tuesday. It's Soph and Nat, and we have a special guest on for a second episode, Jamie Beebe.
Hey,
hi,
Jamie.
Thanks.
Hey,
guys.
It's great to have you. And if you guys didn't listen to our last episode, we introed Jamie and we talked about her life and her podcast, Strictly Stalking, in the last trip, as well as her favorite places and hots and nots. So today we're going to talk about Most Memorable Travel Stories, which is a series that Natalie and I both love and started together. They're funny, they're sad, they're crazy, and Jamie's got a lot of crazy ones in a good way from her podcast and her own life. So Jamie, I just want to start with talking about most memorable travel stories from, let's do Strictly Stalking first.
Well, you know, an interesting one is, I mean, it's more about me doing the show. We interview people who have been stalked. And so sometimes, you know, if I'm traveling, it might be like 3 a.m. that I'm going to get up and do an interview because we kind of go on other people's schedules. I was in Bali and it was 3 a.m., but I was staying in a treehouse, like up high in this treehouse, and I had internet access. So I was like, yeah, no problem. Bali at 3 a.m. is so quiet. So I'm like sitting there trying to do an interview in a treehouse, and all I hear, like, there's monkeys and there's like weird birds and there's like all these, like, I'm in a jungle, you know, I'm in the middle of a jungle in a tree, and there's like, there's, you know, lizards kind of walking by, and there's all these things happening, and I'm like trying to concentrate, trying to do an interview. And that was definitely not something that I want to do all the time because it's very difficult. I was trying to be all quiet because there was other people sleeping, you know, in the other trees. Uh-huh. And so, and it was like 3 a.m., you know, you got to be quiet. And so that was definitely my most memorable thing that I did with Strictly Stalking, was just trying to do that interview at like in a tree. And
did you hear the monkeys in the background in the episode?
A little bit. Like, I think, you know, we have a great editor. Luckily it's not me. And so he was able to take a lot of the extra sounds out, you know, and I muted myself when I wasn't talking. But it's definitely like, I mean, it sounded like I was in a jungle because I was. In the middle of a jungle. There's all kinds of things. And, you know, it was really, really hot too. And so I had the treehouse door open, and I just kept thinking, please don't let a monkey like jump in here, because they're scary. They're like not, I mean, they're like, they're not gonna kill you, but they're not like friendly. They're not like gonna hug you either, you know. They're gonna like steal your stuff or something. I don't know what they do. That's just not what I want to deal with. So I just kept, like, out of the corner of my eye, like, I hope the monkeys not jump in here, you know. So yeah,
that's crazy. That was it. That's pretty cool. Who are you interviewing?
Oh gosh, I don't actually remember which episode that was.
Were they like impressed by the background that you had or the location you were in?
I did mention it and they were like, oh, okay. Like,
you know, right,
it's
so on.
Weird, it's like, it's daytime. Like, they're in a totally, it's just so different when you're traveling. You know, it's so hard to people to be like, oh, so you're totally in daytime. Oh, you're totally in nighttime. You know, it's just a weird trip.
It's funny. It almost feels like East Coast versus California.
Right.
We were just talking about that. Well, that's really cool. What about the last trip? Because there's too many on that, but some of the highlights so far.
Yeah. You know, an interesting one was I found a case that I wanted to do about this rugby player who actually, it comes out next week, a rugby player who went missing in Barcelona. And it's a really interesting case. A couple of days before he went missing, he posted a 15-minute video on Instagram about how his life was in danger and he thought people were trying to kill him. I don't know what happened to him. But he did go missing just a couple of days after that. And then, you know, the newspaper started saying like, oh, he owed money to the Somali mafia, like this and that. Like he was a famous rugby player. And he was on Celebrity X Factor and like, he's just vanished, which is crazy. So I started researching that. And then, my girlfriend is in a really cool band. She like is in a, like a Black Sabbath cover band. And she went out there, she's on tour. She's like, oh, I'm going to be in Barcelona. And I was like, oh, I'm going to come hang out with you in Barcelona. Yeah. So I went out there because I was researching the case anyway. And I walked like his same path because, you know, he took a boat from Ibiza to Barcelona, got off the boat, walked up to this bar. Like it's all on CCTV up until like he just poofs and vanishes. So wow. I just kind of like walked his same path and it was eerie. I mean, obviously there were no clues or anything. I went on his 1 year, like the anniversary, right around the anniversary of his 1 year disappearance. And it just felt like deja vu, like this eerie, like how does somebody vanish? Like I'm walking on his path and then like, but where is he? You know? So that was like really intense.
Wow. That is crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could beat that.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
You know, that's another funny one. When I was in Maui way like years ago, I would say 4 or 5 years ago, before I started the podcast at all, I always take pictures of missing person posters, like wherever I go. It's just my thing. And I was looking, I was researching some cases and I was like, oh, let me see, you know, who's in Maui. And I recognized the girl that was missing and from Maui. And I was like, wait a minute. And I went back all those years and I was like 4 or 5 years ago. And I had a picture of her missing person poster from when, like maybe 2 or 3 weeks after she went missing, I was at the beach where like she went missing and I took a picture of her poster. So I was like, oh, wow. Like I definitely need to be doing this. Like this is,
yeah,
I'm doing the right thing. I'm on the right track because, yeah, you know, Jimmy, it makes me feel so sad, like seeing those missing person posters, you know,
it really does.
Yeah. And I take pictures, post them, you know, like, hey, if anyone's seen this person, you know, just in case. I don't understand how people go missing. I mean, I do, but I don't, you know, it's just sad.
Yeah. Well, I see you posting them on your story and it's really because anybody from anywhere can see that. I mean, I think that's one of the beneficial things about information technology and like social media now is it's very easy to like back then when a kid was kidnapped, it was really hard to find them. I mean, now you even have things like AirTags and all that stuff that you can put on people, kids in your purse, on your car, you know? So, but I think Jamie Beebe Amber Alerts, I'm all for it.
Oh yeah. Right.
So-and-so's missing in Asia. Who's in Asia right now? Hands up.
Well, it's like, how do people go missing when there's so much video? There's CCTV footage in not every country, but a lot. There's CCTV footage in so many places. People have cameras. There's people everywhere. How do you go missing as a tourist when you're in a tourist location with 100 people standing around you? How do you just vanish? Yeah. Like, I don't get
it. That's an interesting thing to me where like, one, in the U.S., like, it's very, if you're a United States citizen and you go missing, or even if you're a foreign citizen and you go missing, the United States is pretty good about finding you. And I mean, they catch most of those people just because, okay, Jamie, compare it to, she's making faces, Travel Brat, she's looking at me funny. Well, you know, compare it to, like, your story from China or something, you know, where they're dead, they're lost. I there are still problems with the system. But I think also, if you go missing in, like a European country, the United States isn't that interested in getting involved to help you. So that's kind of a scary thing. It's like you're kind of at the whim of this government and these people in this language. Like you don't know anyone. Nobody speaks your language. They don't know your family who's trying to contact them to find you. You know, I mean, I guess there's a lot of private investigators hired when that
there comes is.
Down and to that.
That's normally what you need to do. But there's a lot of there's only so many companies that you can hire that are allowed to go in certain countries.
Oh,
Yeah, there's an Israeli company that can go, I think, anywhere in the world, pretty much.
Oh, wow.
For the most part. But yeah. Not every country can jump in and be like, oh, we need to look for the person that's missing. But like not like other countries, sometimes they aren't allowed to go look for their people in that country. So, you know, sometimes the United States isn't allowed to just go in and take over an investigation. A lot of times they're not. If you go missing, if you're from, there's a case where a girl went missing in Japan. And she was from, I think she's from Italy, but Italy isn't allowed to just go into Japan as authoritative figures and conduct an investigation. They have to be asked. Wow. And so if right. they don't ask them, if they don't want the help, could, you know, egos, whatever the reason, you can't just go look. So a lot of times people don't know what to do if their loved one is missing in another country. It's a lot of work and it's very difficult and it's very costly.
That would be terrifying, honestly. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I hope that never happens. But, wow. Well, do you have any more travel stories for us? Any memorable ones?
I crashed a motorcycle in Nicaragua.
Oh, no.
Off a cliff. Yeah, that was a good, that's one of my favorites.
Because
I shouldn't, it was my own fault. Like, obviously, because I was all, I'm big girl. I'm just going to ride solo around this little place. And it was on Ometepe on this island in Lake Nicaragua. And they don't really have roads, but they rented me a motorcycle anyway. And they're just like, yeah, be careful. And it was kind of rainy. And I was like, oh, I'm sure it's fine. And so I'm like on the side of this mountain thing. And it's like a dirt road. And my wheel just like caught and just like went off, and it was probably 5 feet down. And so my wheel caught and I was like, uh-oh, like this is bad. So I jumped off and the motorcycle kept going and it went down the thing. And I'm like looking down. I'm like, well, I can't get it back up. Like it's very heavy. I look at it, I'm like, I'm basically fine. I had a little slice in my leg and some bruises, no big deal. And then I realized like I am miles away from anything and anyone. And my phone doesn't work and I don't have anyone to call if it did work. So I walked for like 4 or 5 hours until I finally came across some guy, like he was like maybe 20, driving a little moped. And I was like hitchhiking. Basically, I was like, hey, like, can you pick me up? And so now I have to get back on another little motorcycle and someone else is driving. And I'm just like, and I have my big backpack and it was stressful, but that was an interesting time. And I paid for the motorcycle, but it was only $200. So it was okay.
Wow. So you got back to where you originally got the motorcycle and you basically said, here's the situation. And they just said, well, you can pay for it. And then you just left.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. It took me so long. It's when I realized solo traveling, there are some aspects of it that I shouldn't. There are some things where I should be a little more careful.
Well,
like,
you know,
being alone in the middle of nowhere on a motorcycle, like not my smartest moment.
Yeah, you know, I love that you brought that up because I think that there's this awesome, you know, female independent spirit that's like developed around travel, solo travel. And I think it's totally okay and great for people to do solo travel, even like, especially women. You don't always have to have a group or a family or a boyfriend or a husband, you know. But I also think that sometimes in pride, you can get to the point of ignorance with what you should be doing. So, and it's funny, Natalie, we talked about that a little bit when we first met. But yeah, it's just like, here's what the locals say. Here's what travel podcasters say, agents, like, let's not just be ignorant, but we can totally travel. Again, like Jamie said that she felt so safe in Guatemala, and then Colombia was a lot different. And you would just assume if you were just an American that didn't know too much about geography. I mean, South America, they're not that far away from each other. You know, It's fine in both. It's probably the same where, no, you don't know the political issues. You don't know anything about the cartels and, you know.
So different.
So, yeah.
And I think too, like for me, I was like, oh, like I'm not going to not do something because I'm a girl by myself.
Right.
But like no dude should have been trying to drive a motorcycle on the side of a cliff in the rain either. Like that's dumb. You know,
that's a girl thing.
Like that's dumb. And so sometimes like it just like I learned a big lesson. Like I learned like, I don't have to show anybody like, oh, I can do this, I can do that, when no one should be doing it. Like, You know, I don't have to be so extra because I'm like, oh, I'm a girl by myself. Like, no, that's just dumb for anyone. Like, don't do it.
it's like the tourists that like hang on the edge of cliffs in the Grand Canyon. Like, do you know how many of those people die every year? It's like, guys,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Is it worth it? No one should do it.
Is it worth the Instapic? Why don't you just stand like 2 feet in and not like on the very edge when a strong breeze comes by and you plummet to your death? I don't know.
Yeah. Like I was specifically going somewhere that I probably shouldn't have been going by myself on the motorcycle. I did know better, but I was like, well, I'm going to go anyway, just cause I'm a girl. I'm not going to not go. I'm not going to not see this. And, you know, and that's what happened. Like, there's a lesson in that, you know, no one should have gone there by themselves. And they told me when I was going to go, the people that at the chocolate factory I was staying at, they're like, yeah, it's pretty dangerous. Like, it's really far out there. Like, maybe you shouldn't go by yourself. I'm like, I'll be fine. I don't have anyone to go with. Like, no, not smart. Like, sometimes you can't do things because you're alone. Like that, you know, or sometimes you get to do more because you're alone. Just
Willy Wonka didn't offer to take you on a motorcycle ride. Since you were staying at the chocolate factory, since you were a guest of the chocolate
factory. I did meet a very attractive yoga teacher at the chocolate factory. So that was fun.
Okay, I want to ask you about that because there's so much yes, no, definitely around meeting strangers when you travel, especially men when you're a single solo female traveler. Are you super careful about that, or you're like, it's fine, I just won't go anywhere sketchy alone with them, or how do you feel about that?
To be honest, I haven't met any that I've other like I've looked and been like, oh, that one's cute. But I don't really talk to them. I'm not interested in meeting anyone in any country. Mm. But if I was, I don't know. I think like if I met like another traveler, like at the hostel or something, and I talked to them, like I'm not like ignoring men, but
yeah,
but in that way, like I don't, you know, put that out. Like there could ever be a possibility. I guess if I met just like the most amazing dude, like I think I would go for it, I guess. It just hasn't come up because it's not something I really.
Right.
But I think it's cool when people, I know a ton of people who've been like, oh yeah, I was just traveling and I met this guy and, you know, now I live in this country. I'm like, that's amazing. Like, that's so cool.
Of course, you're always taking a risk, whether you meet a person through a mutual friend at home or you meet someone abroad. I mean, people are sketchy and people are great. You know, the spectrum is there no matter where you meet people. But I imagine that, and of course, assuming is never a good thing, but I feel like we can make an educated guess that if someone is also solo traveling, or if they're traveling with a group of guy friends or a group of, you know, friends, it's like they're traveling, they're not going to travel to a random country just so that they can stalk and kill someone. You know what I mean? Like they're traveling because they want to have a good time.
Yeah.
And so I feel like the chances of them being like a decent human being who share a lot of interests with you are actually pretty high. But I think like that like the precautions that we are encouraged to take as women dating men in general is going to be the same kind of precautionary stuff that you're going to want to take anywhere. Right. Yeah. Like I feel like that's probably the case overall.
Yeah. I mean, I think like, as far as dating in other countries, like you're talking about, I totally agree. And I think like the only maybe additional type of precautions or you should take these anyway, would be like drinking, drugs, you know, sexual assault. Like someone's like exactly what you said, like no one's going to another country to try and start murdering. Like that's not really, there's other things to do. You're probably going to do that in your own country. I don't know. That's my take on murderers.
No, and I would say, Natalie, that was a good point about locals versus other tourists that are clearly other tourists. Like, just sometimes with locals, I think maybe you have to have your radar turned on a little more.
Yeah, a little bit more. Obviously, because like what you talk about in your podcast, I mean, I imagine that the people that are being stalked and murdered are being stalked and murdered by people who are residents of that country. And
or
so
sneaking in like the Koreans,
like that kind of thing. So obviously, like, yeah, use discernment and wisdom and thoughtfulness, and don't be like you were talking about. Don't be ignorant. And I think that, you know, there are a lot of different tips that I think apply across the board. I also had kind of going back a little to memorable stories. I want to know, Jamie, What was your very first solo travel experience? How old were you, if you don't mind me asking, of like when you decided, I want to do my own trip? Because I have friends who, you know, during college would do it. I have friends who would never take a solo trip, you know? And so it's like, it depends on your level of excitement in doing that. But I would just like to know, what was your first solo travel trip?
My first one was, I want to say it was like 15 years ago, maybe. And I was going through a breakup, and the guy was like my neighbor. Like, he lived in my neighborhood, like very close. And there's not like that many houses. So I would see him all the time. I had really never been, I had been like to Canada and Mexico, maybe like once. And so I looked online, and so I was like, I'm leaving. Like, I'm just, you know, I'm a very dramatic person. I'm leaving. So I found like the cheapest flight, like the furthest away, and it was Honduras. I don't know Spanish. I don't even know. Like, I didn't even know at the time, like, where's Honduras? I don't know. I don't care. Like, I don't know anything about it. I don't know. There's a little bit of crime in Honduras. You know, whatever. So I bought a ticket, and I left 2 days later, and I stayed there for like 9 months.
Whoa.
Yeah. I just never like went back, and I loved it. I loved it. It was the most freeing, most, I was terrified. I cried the whole way there. I'm going to die. I'm going to go there and die. Like, it was awful. Like, to get there was awful. And then as soon as I got there, I was like, wait a minute, like, I'm a full adult. Like I'm just doing it. Like, yeah, maybe I'll die, but like, probably not. Like, it'll be fine. And, you know, and I didn't have a place to stay. And so I did it. And then after that, I was like, oh, like, I can handle anything. Like, this dude that I just left town for, like, that's so dumb. Like, screw him. Like, I don't need him. I don't need any of that stuff. So yeah, that's kind of it. I grew up instantly, I feel like just like, boom, I'm a grown up.
I honestly did not expect that to be your story. I love that so much. Not only that you just like decided to do something scary, first of all, and that the whole time that you were traveling there, you were freaking out. Oh, yeah. And then you proceeded to spend 9 months there. I mean, Jamie, that is like such a crazy story. I feel like you represent something that so many of us don't feel like we could do. I mean, obviously, what a gift that you were able to stay there for 9 months. You know, that's amazing. I think that for a lot of us that do live in this era, we are working from home a lot. Yeah. And so to be able to do that is really cool. I'm just like, I love that story. That's so cool.
Yeah, it was life changing for sure. Like, I didn't ever think I could travel by myself. Like, I'm such a, like, I call my dad to remind me, like, when I have to take my trash out, and he lives in Wisconsin and I live in California. Like, I'm, you know, like, I'm still like, I rely on my parents still. Like, how can I travel by myself? And so that was really eye-opening that I can, and I did. And yeah, it was really hard. Not gonna lie. Like, I got there there weren't like hotels like I thought, like nothing was what I thought. So I didn't have like a ton of money. I had to just figure it out. You know, I'm like, oh, it's a hostel. Like, I didn't know anything. I just like dropped off in Honduras, you know.
There we go. I'm gonna learn something. Well,
yeah,
you know,
I learned pretty quick.
Yeah, I think sometimes you just have to take the leap. That someone, yeah, you're just like Natalie said, sometimes you're just so afraid to do it once that once you do it once, you're like, oh, I can do this. I can figure it out. I'm okay with it. It's actually really fun. You know, I thought I was way more timid than I actually could be. So that's really neat, Jamie. Thank you so much.
I like doing stuff that scares me, you know?
Yeah. Thanks for telling us that, though. I mean, hey, this whole living life on the edge, literally with a motorcycle from Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. But anyway, thank you again for coming on. And we hope that the Travel Brats enjoyed episode 2, Most Memorable Travel Stories with Jamie Beebe. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, guys, to check out Strictly Stalking and The Last Trip. And big surprise, our third episode with Jamie in the series is going to be epic. It's going to be a last trip episode on one of her stories. I'm not giving any hints. You guys have to tune in. And the Travel Brats are going to be just playing along for the ride. So Jamie, we'll catch you next time.
Yeah, thanks so much, Jamie. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Hey, 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 it's your Travel Brat, Nat. I hope you enjoyed this episode. We love creating episodes based on places you are planning to visit. So if you'd like to request an episode on a specific destination,
you can visit thetravelbrats.com, go to About Us, then Where To Next, to submit a request on an episode on your upcoming vacation destination.
Looking for the cutest new travel pieces for your adventure wardrobe? Then shop Best Dressed. From gorgeous sundresses to adorable bikinis and cozy sweaters, Best Dressed has the perfect travel pieces for any vacation destination. Check them out at shopbestdressed.com and use code TRAVELBRAT20 for 20% off the entire store.